the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The OHL playoffs begin this week, and the London Knights are facing Flint starting Friday at Budweiser Gardens. The Knights enter the playoffs after finishing first overall in the OHL. And today I'm talking with London Free Press sports reporter Ryan Pyatt all about the postseason. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hi, Rachel. I'm excited for the playoffs.
I bet. Yeah. Well, London takes on Flint starting this Friday. So talk about this matchup. What are your predictions for this series?
Well, Flint is the 8 seed. London's the top seed. And, you know, I don't think it's going to last very terribly long. But Flint had its moments this year. But they did kind of do a soft sell. They got rid of a lot of good players, older players. That's where they are in their cycle. They had a couple good years, which was good to see, because that franchise started off, you know, was a tough transition after the success that Plymouth's had. And, I think this is a transition year for them, and they got a new coaching staff. And, you know, I think London, you know, proved down the stretch when they played Flint that they should be able to handle them, but it's playoffs, right? So you never know what could happen. And if you get a hot goalie, and they have some good players over there. So, we'll see what happens. I think it's exciting. Just from my perspective, that they're not playing Owen Sound or Kitchener right off the bat. Like, that's somebody different. I like to see, you know, you go through, they haven't played, you know, you like to see some different matchups now and again. And it never hurts to see teams over and over again. But Owen Sound, it would have been like, oh, my God, 4 and 5 years or something like that. It's nice to see somebody different.
Just different. Yeah, different this year. Let's talk about some of the Knights players, because we obviously have had a great run this season. But Easton Cowan right now is on a franchise record point streak. Like, wow. Talk about his season.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a Maple Leafs draft pick, and once you get over 20, I could see there around 25 games there that it became like a, you know, a Toronto or national story kind of thing. Right. So, which is always great. And, I've been really impressed with how humble he's been and how he's, you know, deferred, you know, all credit to his teammates. And, he's obviously one of the best players in the league. And, you know, I think that should excite Maple Leaf fans, because I remember we talked about this, when he was drafted, that, you know, people weren't sure. They thought it was a reach. It was called a reach, in the community, and obviously it's not a reach. He's probably should have went higher if they did the redraft. So he's just been a dominant player. And, you know, this streak, I think the important thing, Rachel, during this streak, which started in November, hard to believe, here we are in March and still talking about the streak.
Been
but,
a while.
You know, he had the interruption with the World Juniors. Dale Hunter switched his lines during the streak, you know, which is, you think, even just for superstitions alone, that, you know, you'd leave the same guys together if it's working, but he wanted to get the team ready for playoffs. So he switched lines. And then, you know, down the stretch here, Easton, you know, he got hit in the face with a stick, like he fell on a stick in the crease and had to wear like a full face shield. And if you ever played with one, it's a little different than the half visor, and it could screw you up potentially. And he still got the points, and then he missed the game. You know, he was injured. He still played his physical style and got hurt and had to miss a game, and that could throw off your rhythm too, for getting points, right? But he came right back and kept scoring, and it didn't matter who they played or who tried to shut him down. He kept getting points, and we saw the last few weeks that he was reunited with Denver Barkey, and they, you know, just like last year in the playoffs, they look like they have that same mojo or chemistry that they did, and they're basically, they were winning games offensively for the Knights between the two of them.
Well, speaking of Denver Barkey, between him and Oliver Bonk, it looks like they're going to be really relied upon for scoring throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a lot of Oliver Bonk's goals were when he was in the bumper spot, that spot in front of the net where the quick pass comes out on the power play and nobody can really defend you. And he's a right-hand shot, which is like becoming more and more rare in the game. And a right shot defenseman is one of the most coveted positions, and you see why the Flyers drafted him so high. And he's going to be a key factor. He's been around for 3 years now in the playoffs, and he knows what it's about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a rock back there on the point. And obviously, Denver Barkey, everybody see a smaller bulldog, skilled forward, you know, not afraid to get scrappy in the corners, very determined, kind of just the player the Hunters love, right? And kind of him and Cowan are the players that the Hunters would just gravitate towards, you know, when obviously when they draft them, because those are the kind of guys that they see in themselves, right? That just don't, they have that high motor that doesn't stop with the skill too. So, you know, Denver Barkey had an incredible year. 100 points is still quite an achievement in the OHL. There's only, you know, each year a half dozen guys that get there, kind of thing. So, you know, he had a nice exchange with Luke Evangelista, who was the last night to get there. And obviously he's in the NHL with Nashville, and they teased each other about it, kind of thing. So, you know, that was good to see. And he's been a great, you know, player for the Knights, you know, since he was drafted, and I'm sure he's going to have a big playoff too.
Yeah. It's going to be a big playoff year for Sam Dickinson as well, just ahead of the NHL draft, right?
Oh yeah. You know what? And this year I've seen, even though the league got a lot of older guys, like veteran overagers, did really well this year. I was really impressed with what the 17-year-olds did in their draft year across the board on all kinds of teams. And, you know, Sam Dickinson just, he impressed me from the moment he walked into London last year and training camp, and just got better and better and better. And he didn't score much last year, but you could see how good he was. And I think this year he kind of focused on saying, I'm going to become a two-way player. And he certainly became a two-way player this year with 70 points, almost 20 goals. Fantastic year. Still one of the best defensive players. Plus minus was through the roof in the 50s. And, you know, the one thing, Rachel, I say about Sam Dickinson is this guy wants to excel in every aspect of hockey, to the point where I remember Mike Stubbs and I were talking to him, and he asked us after, like, how'd I do in that interview? And we were like, well, you did fine. And he's like, I want to be the best at everything, interviews, everything. So it's just like, you know, like he's just a character. You know, he's a character. If you see some of the social media stuff that the Knights put out, he's, you know, mm-hmm. interviewing his teammates, and he's always in the middle of the action of, you know, getting them pumped up and stuff. And obviously if he comes back next year, the Knights didn't have a captain this year. They had a couple of assistants that they thought were good. And obviously Ethan MacKinnon got hurt. So he was obviously a potential captain before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think Sam Dickinson's going to be one of those guys that could be, you know, could wear a C for the team at some point.
Awesome. Yeah. And then let's talk about Michael Simpson, because he was on the OHL championship team last year, right? So he's a real asset for the Knights, I'm only assuming now.
Yeah, he beat the Knights, right? In the OHL final, and they stood on the other blue line and watched him get the playoff MVP. So you know, you could see why the Hunters wanted to bring him back home here. He obviously mm-hmm. grew up here. And you know, Rachel, one of the most interesting things, talking to Michael at the end of his season, you know, obviously there's lulls throughout the season, and you know, he let in some bad goals at times, and that's always happens to every goalie. But you know, when Easton Cowan said it best, he said, in the big games, I trust that he's going to get the job done. And that's awesome for every team to have. And the other thing about Michael Simpson is, you know, he's one of the few kids that said to me, and I was kind of shocked when he said it, but he said COVID, he said that year and a half off, that really helped me, because I was 16, 17 years old, just trying to find my way. And he said it allowed me the practice time and just the time away from the rink to work out, get stronger, bigger, become, you know, a bigger goalie, quicker goalie. And he said, you know, a lot of the kids I talk to say, man, they wish they had that time back to have played in the playoffs and then the following year, mm-hmm. where he used it to the point where when he walked into Peterborough as a 10th round pick at age 18, he took the starter's job and played 45 games. And he's never really, he hasn't been a backup in the league. He didn't go through the tough times in terms of, you know, giving up 10 goals in the OHL when you're 17 years old and having to deal with that, whether I'm good enough or that. He walked in, said, I'm good enough to play in this league, had the confidence, won the OHL playoffs the following year. And now he knows he has a chance to do it. And it's rare. It's rare for a starting goalie to get this opportunity. You look at who he took over for, Brett Brochu, one of the most decorated goalies going, But he always got hurt in the inopportune times, right? It just seemed like Brett wasn't healthy in the playoffs. And here's a guy that, you know, he had, and Brett came in the league early at 17, right? And played right away, played a lot of hockey. So, I think Simpson feels like he's ready for this opportunity, that he's not going to see anything this year that he hasn't seen the last couple of years in the playoffs. So good to have for the next.
Okay, there's three other matchups in the West, the Western Conference this round. And I know you had some predictions in your story. So do you see any upsets in the making? Like, what are your predictions for this round?
Well, I think Saginaw and the Sioux are going to get through. Although I like the way Guelph's been playing, they may give the Hounds, a tough ride. But, the one I picked is Kitchener. Kitchener is such a streaky team. Like, they're all year they started great, then they hit a rut, then they were back great again, and now they're in another rut. And I just really like the way Erie played against some of the top teams in the league, and they're so fast. The Sioux does it a little better. They play a similar style to the Greyhounds. The Hounds do it a little bit better. They got a little bit more veteran savvy there. But I just like the way Erie plays, and I think they're gonna give Kitchener all kinds of trouble. And going through the, past history isn't, the regular season doesn't always tell the story, but a lot of those games were close and went to overtime. So you think, maybe Erie could, if they pull off and get a couple into game six or seven, I think that their confidence. I know from the Knights last year when you have a younger team, what it's like when you get on a roll, like when they beat Sarnia last year. So I think, and Kitchener's had a couple of big upsets the last couple of years where they knocked off Windsor and then knocked off the Knights. And, it'll be interesting to see how they handle a team now that they're a bit of a favorite in the series. I guess if you say 4 or 5 is a big, kind of if there's a big gap there. But and Erie also no playoff games since 2017. The one that used to have Connor McDavid and Dylan Strom win 50 games all the time. Once that went away, that really went away, and they haven't played a playoff game in 7 years. So I think they'll be really humming. And Erie, anybody's been to Erie, it's a crazy environment when they have a big crowd, and it's not easy to win there at any time.
So who do you think is the Knights' biggest challenger, like going on, assuming the Knights move on, because we know they will, go Knights go. Who do you think is our biggest challenger, like in terms of matching up with the teams and skill level, all of that?
Well, if it all plays out, I think when the winner of Saginaw and the Sioux, if they meet in the second round, I think that's going to be a tremendous series, and I think that's going to be London's toughest test. Saginaw is loaded up for it. They got the Memorial Cup this year, and the Greyhounds play a style that really challenges the Knights' man-to-man defensive system. So, and they had success, obviously, against the Knights this year. And I think that I'm really looking forward to, when we get to the Final Four in the West, and I think it's going to be tremendous hockey, and that Saginaw Sioux series is going to be good as anything. And no Memorial Cup team wants to lose early, right?
No,
but I think, they want to have the momentum of going into the OHL final and stuff like that. And I think any of these teams, London, Sioux, Saginaw, you can even put in Oshawa in the East, cause they've been on a real heater lately and they look like they bonded as a team. I think those are four teams that, should be there at the end, and it'll be really, it should be really good hockey into May, right? Which was what we kind of expect. And the buildings are full. And, I missed Peterborough. Like, that environment going to Peterborough last year was just junior hockey to the core, right? So I'm looking forward to, obviously, London, it's like that all the time. But, I'm looking forward to seeing who pops up here. Is it Saginaw? Is it the Sioux that grabs that? Oshawa that grabs that environment that you never kind of forget, right?
Okay. Well, that leads right into my next question. In the Eastern Conference of Oshawa, they've been doing really well. They're number one. What do you think of that team this year? Kind of what do you think of Oshawa? Let's just talk about Oshawa first.
Yeah, I think they got all the pieces of a real good junior hockey. They're a real good junior hockey team. I thought the East was a bit of a grab bag this year. And if you looked at the standings, like even a week ago, there was like, if you win two games, you'd be like in first. If you lost two, you'd be in seventh. It was crazy. Yeah, it didn't really follow any of the predictions. But Oshawa's got, they got a few good guys like Callum Ritchie and, Stuart Roloffs, and their goaltending's good. I thought a key addition was Connor Punnett. he dominated the game and from the back end when they won in London a couple of weeks ago. He came over from Barry. He's a big, solid defenseman with a little bit of offensive skill, but he's mean. Got that snarl that you need in the playoffs. He'll get you, 100 penalty minutes kind of thing. But, I think Oshawa is obviously the favorite, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brantford or Ottawa or Sudbury. And it's one of those funny years where you might not have to win the league championship to get to the Memorial Cup, because if Saginaw beats London, beats the Sioux, if they get out of the West, then the East winner automatically gets there, right? So I think that was why we saw not a ton of teams like trade off everything, because they're like, hey, we're in the mix here and Saginaw wins the other side maybe. So there'll be a lot of teams in the East cheering against London, right? London mm-hmm. and Sioux, and they won't want them to win. They'll want Saginaw. They're cheering for Saginaw to get to the finals, obviously, so they get the cupper.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Brantford, which is kind of cool because playoff hockey is returned to Brantford. How has that city received the new Bulldogs team? How did they do this year?
I think of all the Eastern teams, I watched Brantford the most, and I watched a lot of their home games, and it reminded me when I was a kid in the 80s growing up. It's in the same rink, and it's watching those games with the old Alexanders, and the people obviously love it. When they do stuff like this, you wonder why they weren't there in the first place. how they kind of like North Bay, I guess, got their team back or whatever, but you wish they were there the whole time. What a first season in the rink. Sometimes you when you go to a new place, like Flint, for instance, when they left Plymouth, their team's terrible or whatever, but Brantford gave the fans a lot to cheer about, and I think that'll only build. And I think that's great, because I always thought the Niagara Ice Dogs, before they hit their bad patch, that was the area where they could really become like a real dominant powerhouse franchise, and it never really happened. But, now that Brantford and Niagara in the same area, that should become a great rivalry. And, I love where they're situated, and it's not hard for anybody – that's in our area or Kitchener area or wherever to go see a game there. And it's a great old rink. At some place they got to replace it. Right. But, yeah. And get a new building, but this is, having this momentum is maybe that'll stir things for getting a new rink down
sure.
the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, what are your predictions then overall for the OHL, the West and the East? Who do you think will end up on top in each conference?
I'm going to sound like a homer, but it's hard to bet against the Knights. It's hard to bet against the Knights.
They
did it again, right? Yeah. Like last year I thought Sarnia would give them, Sarnia was the team, right? And the London mm-hmm. beat them. So, but this year I can't see. I mean, you just look at, the only team really, like we said, or Saginaw and the Sioux might be able to beat London. And then I don't know. They're so hard to beat in a 7-game series. They got such good coaching. Saginaw is going to be there. I really like their team too. But, it's a shame they're going to have to meet before the OHL final. Sometimes that happens. But, I like the way Oshawa played. I don't know if they have the horses to run with London over the course of the series. But, Rachel, you look at how teams during the season – how many teams bounce back from a loss? And teams like London and Saginaw, they'd lose like a game and then they'd win like 7 in a row. They barely lost 2 in a row all year kind of thing. So
right.
Those are the teams where you look at that consistency that you need over the course of the playoffs, and especially in junior hockey, that's a key. Like you see teams, they lose and then they get down on themselves and all of a sudden they're mm-hmm. done, right?
Mm-hmm.
These aren't teams that are going to get down on themselves. They London and Saginaw will be battling. And I hope to see a series like, if they meet, I hope to see a series like a classic OHL series that all goes 6 or 7 games and a bunch of overtimes and a bunch of, controversies and stuff. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, good hockey, good games. All right, well, thank you, Ryan. We're going to watch your reporting for sure, because we know you'll be covering all this at lfpress.com. Thanks for joining us today. We'll keep updated.
Anytime, Rachel.